Top Base Podcast.
This is Last Place Joe. There's no shame in finishing last. Anyone who listens to my commentary on this podcast, do it at your own risk.
We can really express our true opinions about who we think sucks. Mr. Timothy Lamar Lincecum.
That guy's a gas can. Terrible second half last year. Bad spring so far. I don't like him. I think he's overrated.
I don't have a lot of good data to back this up, but I'm going to say it. I think Matt Kemp's overrated.
You think Prince is a justified top 10 pick?
I don't like him. I think he's overrated. I think Marmol's overrated.
I think Jacoby Ellsbury's overrated. I don't like Evan Longoria or David Wright. I think they're both overrated. I happen to think I have the best and brightest insights among the three of us.
And I finished in last place.
You got Scott Bodley here, the BOD. I work hard all day. Was in a foot race. Adrian, Poppy, or Usain Bolt running back.
I thought Sean Markham was your secret love child.
You know, we really did it for the fans.
After Tulo, it is a barren wasteland. You might as well draft Ernie Banks or Jeff Blauser.
Well, apparently we had a slight Twitter malfunction.
I don't really consider Cabrera first baseman. If you're playing him at first base, you're an idiot. Why would someone take Votto over Cano? It blows my mind. I'm just a champion all the time.
The Big Cat.
We are three knuckleheads sitting around doing a podcast on fantasy baseball.
It took it a little while for the secret to actually get out.
Every time Wally picks somebody up, it's gold. It could be, you know, my grandma, and all of a sudden she'd be hitting like 350.
Until I see Miguel Cabrera out there with an actual frying pan on his hand, then I'll change my mind. Matt Kemp's going to win the NL MVP. If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Sit back, enjoy the information, the knowledge.
All right, what's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Off Base Podcast. This will be episode number 9. And what's up? Good to have everybody back. We got the BOD.
What's up?
Got the Big Cat.
Yeah.
And we're talking baseball once again. So I was out of town this week, guys, over in San Francisco. And
San Francisco, Mohacking Bay.
Did you stay at Lincecum's house?
I did, yeah. Yeah, I had a bunk bed in Timmy's bedroom.
I thought the restraining order wouldn't let you near his house.
That's his. That doesn't apply to vacation homes. So this is the second year in a row I've gone over to this trade show that I was attending, and both times the Giants are out of town. This is an outrage.
But the A's were in town.
So I'm going to email the provider of this trade show. I'm going to tell them I'm not coming anymore unless they schedule it when the Giants are in town. How hard is it?
It's not very hard at all.
A week.
It's an outrage. Yeah. It's an outrage.
I'm sorry you weren't able to see Lincecum for like the third time already this year.
I mean, the one thing about going to that many Lincecum starts is you know you're going to see a lot of offense.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of runs.
But I'm back in the saddle, guys. I'm ready to do this podcast. I want to start out by saying this. Last week, I was in 10th place, and I made a bold prediction that I would be in sixth place by the time we did this podcast this week. And I want to say, I did make it all the way up to sixth place for a moment in time. I think it was on Tuesday of this week.
Was it like in the middle of the day? It wasn't like the end of the day.
It wasn't even the end of the day.
Everyone else's players haven't played yet.
A lot of early games. No, but I moved up. I'm in eighth place. Let's just talk about the standings right now.
I could just stare at the standings all day.
Hey, these are good times. These are the dog days of April.
You know, if I was show, I would literally just stare at the standings every morning for an hour.
I know. The guy probably stands naked in front of the mirror with the standings next to him and just admires himself.
Dude, he probably thinks we're just the biggest set of jackasses ever.
Probably.
Especially because he's the new guy, and when he came in the league, we were giving him crap about, dude, you have no idea what you're in store for.
And he's got almost 80 points.
And then from day one, he's just been stomping on us.
And three losers in the league have a podcast, and two of them are in 9th and 10th place.
Yeah, here we go. I'm in 9th. Joe's in 8th.
I'm in 8th. I may be last place Joe, but I'm in 8th place as of today.
These are the type of credentials that are going to get that listenership.
That's right.
Rocketing to the top.
So the show is still in first place. Bleacher Creatures, whose draft we also pretty heavily criticized, second place. Wally Balls, never heard of him, third place.
Am I down to 4?
Bastages is in 4th.
Oh, man.
And those are the 4 teams that have 60 points. And then the middle of the pack is Vengeance, Cobra, right field. I'm in 8th place with 46 points.
Are you counting that as middle of the pack?
No, I'm bottom 3rd. And then Savoy, you're struggling, buddy. You have 37 FanDuel or 37 fantasy points.
Yep, I do.
What's your plan?
I'm in definite trouble. I'm going to lose wins no matter what. Like,
no,
I could get a win every day from now on out, and I'm going to lose wins. And I'm going to have a tough time in case two. So I'm already punting two categories.
Are you sticking with this idea that you've been spouting for 2 years now about how you can just pick up great pitching on the waivers? And
he drafted pitching early.
I took a pitcher earlier than I've ever taken one before.
Well, what's the problem? You're still punting wins. You're punting K's, so...
You know what? Because wins is such an awesome category, that's why.
By the way, if you're punting, then I'm interested in Cliff Lee.
Yeah, I'm not punting ERA and everything else.
What about last week when you wouldn't trade me Jake Peavy? If you're punting, then give me Jake Peavy.
I'm not punting all pitching categories. I don't see how Dude, I have two wins right now. I'm in last place in wins. I have two wins. And the guy in ninth, I think, has six. That's a huge gap for me to fill. I've got two wins in almost a month, and I don't know how I'm going to get more.
You got seven starters on your roster, though.
Yeah, but I don't play them hardly ever. They're all a bunch of scrubs that I'm just trying to... I'm hoarding mediocre to poor starters and hoping that eventually I'll feel safe enough to start one.
Do you feel like you can get two mediocre pitchers and rub them together and start a fire?
Today I went out and added Robbie Ross, because I'm hoping to get some wins from a middle reliever. That's the state of mind that I'm in right now.
If he played in the Japanese league.
You know that his dad actually started Ross Dress for Less?
No, I did not know that.
I just made that up.
All right, that's the league standings. What? Give him the URL again.
tinyurl.com/offbasepodcastleague.
So to our loyal listeners, feel free to drop in, check out the standings anytime. And please keep an eye on the Argyle Tar Heels. Rapid ascent up the standings, already to eighth place, and we're making our move, guys. I'm telling you, this is my year.
It'll be some sort of year.
So let's talk about reader emails. We forgot to do that last week, so let's read a couple that came in.
Yeah, let me pull them up here. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, we had an email from who was it? Norm Peterson, a beer lover and apparently fantasy baseball lover. He's a good man. Anyway, he said, this last email, he said, "Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for reading my email and playing Who You Got on your show. However, I didn't appreciate you sharing my email address with your listeners." Apparently, I shared it.
Yeah, you did.
Sorry about that, Norm. Anyway, he said, "You put me in a real bind here because now I'm getting unwanted emails. I don't want to answer them, so please tell Vera I didn't receive them. Cheers." Oh, Norm. So I guess we won't read anyone else's email addresses. We did get an email about Linscombe. Want me to read that?
Timothy Lamar Linscombe?
Yeah. It's from Joy Gladstone. "Hey, guys. I have a full house here, and all of us want to tell you to be nice to Tim Linscombe. He's had a rough go of things of late, but we still have faith. You notice he settled down the last start. So please, easy on Linscombe talk. Cut it out." And then he said, "P.S. Uncle Jesse says to have mercy."
Yeah, the boys from San Francisco are representing. I agree with the good Mr. Gladstone.
Do you think Joey still talks with Michelle?
I think so.
Or Kimmy Gibbler? We got one other email here. This is from Max Klinger of Toledo, Ohio. He said, "Love the show. BOD, Big Cat, and last place, Joe, mash the competition." And he says, "Look no further when figuring out who was downloading in Korea. It was me. Radar and Hawkeye joined me when I came back to Korea to look for my Judy Garland dress." So, there we go.
Well, that explains our international fan base right there.
Unfortunately, those are the emails we received. None of them have any fantasy baseball-related questions.
So, if you want to ask us a question or comment on the podcast, you can email us at
offbasepodcast@gmail.com. And as you can tell, we'll pretty much read anything that's sent. So don't be bashful.
And you can follow us on Twitter at
@OffBasePodcast.
All right, boys.
Let's get on to it.
Talking some baseball today. The thing that stood out to me here about 1 month into the season is some of these teams that are at the top of the standings, a couple other teams disappointing, and the fantasy players on these teams that are having an impact that maybe we didn't project a month ago. So let's start out by talking about some of these teams that are overachieving or outdoing the expectations. In the American League, you have the Orioles, tied with Tampa Bay atop the American League East. Has that ever happened in the history of our lifetime?
I think there's probably been other Aprils where the Orioles were in first place.
I remember in like the late 80s, didn't the Orioles set the record for most losses at the start of the season? 23 or something like that?
I'm not that old.
When's the last time they went to the World Series? 83?
I don't know. I wish we had the internet.
If only there was some way to look it up. Anyway, what do you guys think about the Orioles? I mean, who's fantasy worthy on the Orioles that maybe you didn't have your eye on?
Well, I have Nolan Reimold. Do you think he's worth holding on to?
He's been hot.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that I think goes through stretches where he's super hot for, you know, two-week stretch of time or whatever. So
you think Nolan Reimold's super hot? He's got 5 bombs already.
But he's had 4 in like the last 5 games.
And he's hitting .353.
He's been having neck spasms. He needs to go talk to Bubbles to get some to cool him down. That's a Wire joke that Joe doesn't get.
He's
never seen the Wire.
He had 13 home runs in all of last year. That was only 87 games. But you picked him up off waivers, BOD.
Yeah, he's been having neck problems, so he's not really playing much, but he's been okay. I think the big player on the Orioles is Adam Jones, obviously. He's legit.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
I think he's coming into his own as a potential superstar, because he's been one of these guys. I sort of equated Adam Jones as a poor man's Matt Kemp, where he's always sort of projected to be this great player, but never quite got there, and I'm having to eat my words on Kemp now, and Adam Jones is starting to have that type of season this year. He's already got 6 bombs. He's hitting .316. He's the anchor of that team for sure. 4 stolen bases to go with it. So,
if Adam Jones was the poor man's Matt Kemp, who would be the poor woman's Rihanna? Pink?
Kesha.
Kesha, is that? Do you say the S with the dollar sign?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how you pronounce that symbol.
Oh, man.
Mark Reynolds is still unowned, by the way, just for the record, anyone who's tracking at home.
Yeah, well, as he should be.
He can't take any credit for this uprising in Baltimore.
They have some good pitching, though. What's the young guy they got? Jason Hamill.
Hamill's been pretty good.
But as you said, you wanted to wait for them to go through the gauntlet.
Right, well, I've been looking to pick him up this week because, as we've noted, I like to pick up starting pitchers. But, yeah, I was looking to pick him up, and his next 2 starts against the Yankees and Red Sox, so I was gonna wait until he kind of ran that gauntlet and see how he came out of it before, but then Clint picked him up already. Picked him up yesterday, I think, so good luck with that. We'll see how it goes.
He's been pitching well.
I know.
So far, so good.
Are you scared of Jim Johnson's plague?
I'm scared that I'm losing saves. I'm afraid he's not going to get the job back just because it was like he had a tight grip on it heading into the season. And he's been amazing. He's been, you know, one of the best early season pickups for me out there. And now, you know, he's got this virus or whatever. I don't even know what it is. He's got leprosy or whatever.
Nobody can stop Pedro Strop. I just came up with that.
That's pretty good. I'll give you one more Oriole. Matt Wieters has been good. 6 home runs already. And he's ranked 59th overall in the Yahoo Player Rater, which is pretty high for a catcher. So combined, the Orioles are pretty surprising. Obviously, I don't know too many people who are going to predict that they'll be able to do that throughout the season. I don't think they have the pitching in particular to do it, especially playing in the AL East, but so far so good.
Here's a bold prediction for you. The Orioles and the effing show will both finish in about the same place. They're in first now, and they'll finish where they finish.
Nice.
Oh, I thought you meant he'd finish like 4th or 5th, because that's where the Orioles will finish.
Well, yeah. Well, you could do it that way. You could do it by percentage, whatever.
That's a not-so-bold prediction.
Okay, here's one more in the American League, Cleveland Indians. And they started out pretty crappy, but they are actually sitting in first place as of today. 10-9 in the Central. They're ahead of the White Sox and the Tigers.
At 10-9, though, it's not like they're blowing people's doors off.
Yeah, this might be more of a case of the whole division just being mediocre to start with. As expected, the Twins and Royals have already been mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. But, I mean, at least Cleveland's above water right now. And who do you guys like, fantasy-wise, that maybe you didn't have your eye on? Josh Tomlin had a nice start yesterday, I think it was. Who else do you like on the Indians?
I think Hafner's a guy that if he's right, he's got power. If you just need power, you know, you're talking about, you know, some of these guys that are sitting on the waiver wire, Carlos Pena, Mark Reynolds. Hafner's probably as good a selection as any of those guys if all you're looking for is just pure power.
What do you think about Johnny Damon coming up in a few weeks?
Does he still have it? I mean, we know he can't play defense. His arm, well, I should say he can't throw anybody out. He could probably run the outfield, but...
Yeah, but it doesn't matter for fantasy.
Yeah, exactly. So is he going to come in and start?
Probably.
Well, wasn't the idea that he'd take Shelly Duncan's... not Shelly Duncan. Is it Shelly Duncan? Who's the outfielder out there?
Yeah, Shelly Duncan's
included. Shelly Duncan. Shelly Duncan's time, I'll split time out there with him. But Johnny Damon was good last year. It's not like he was bad.
He was better than expected, but he didn't start out on a major league roster this year.
Last year he hit 16 bombs, 19 stolen bases, 73 ribbies, 79 runs, hit .260. Mm-hmm. That'd help somebody out.
No, it's not terrible.
He'd be starting in my outfield.
He's not on my radar. All right, moving over to the National League. A couple teams also that are pretty surprising. Talking about the Nationals and the Dodgers are both in first place. The Dodgers have a little bit more star power, but no one projected them to be at the top of that division. But maybe it's just Matt Kemp all by himself. I don't know. What do you guys think? Dodgers going to hold on?
It's crazy. I mean, I'm not sure how they're winning so many games. Their shortstop's hitting like a .110.
I know.
Sweetie!
Well, they're going to win once every five games with Clayton. Kemp will do his business.
Billingsley had some incredible starts. I'm not a believer, but he had some really nice starts.
The Royals are going to fall off.
He got lit last week, didn't he? This week?
He had one real start already.
But the good thing going for the Dodgers is there really isn't a power in the NL West.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that division seems to be wide open pretty much every year.
Yeah.
So that helps. So it may be just nothing more than a hot start. And we'll get to this later, but Andre Ethier, contender or pretender, there's no way he keeps it up. He's not good.
Yeah, well, he's going to need to, though, for the Dodgers. I mean, there's not a ton of pop in that lineup. So.
Yeah. Okay, and the other team that everybody's talking about is the Washington Nationals, 14-5. Pretty impressive. We knew they had good young pitching, right? We knew they had some bats. Would it all come together? And it seems like it has so far.
Well, it's crazy, though. I was reading an article this morning about the Nats, talking about Adam LaRoche, how he's leading the team in RBIs and all stuff. And it was like, the numbers were sad, though. It was like he had 12 RBIs, he had 2 home runs, and it was like...
You don't score runs.
Yeah, there was nothing impressive. I mean, they're running on pitching right now. There's no one on offense that is lighting the world on fire.
So they gave Zimmerman that big contract extension, over $100 million, right? He hasn't done a ton. Mike Morse is on the DL.
Yeah, I've noticed.
So, yeah, you guys are right. I mean, they're not really an offensive powerhouse, but they're getting done.
Well.
Jason Worth, by the way, continues to be worthless.
Oh! Worthless?
But Gio's good. Zimmerman's good.
I got
Gio, Zimmerman, Strasburg, freaking Detweiler has been amazing so far. I mean, their pitching has just been so good that they can't lose.
I got two comments on the Nats. Number one, it's amazing they're 14-5 with Bradledge doing all that he's doing to make them lose. And number two, if the Nationals are really in it and if they're going to be running away with a pennant or if they're going to win the NL East, there's no way they're going to put Strasburg on an innings limit, will they? Because if they got to go for it now if they're going to be in the race.
That's what you're hoping for. Because
that's going to be a tough question.
You've got Strasburg. But yeah, sure. If it's September 1st and they're even within 3, 4, or 5 games of the lead, they're going to ride him down the stretch. They have to.
You got to go for it now.
They'll definitely be playing that thing by ear, though, because as excited as they will be and want, you know, if they're there in the end and have a shot, they're still, I mean, going into this year, I have to think that the organization thought, hey, we're a year, maybe two away from actually making a run of this. And so, I mean, you have to keep the long-term pitcher in perspective as well. You can't go burn this dude out. I mean, how many total major league innings has he pitched? He hasn't even pitched 200, has he?
But listen, they're in the business of making money. They just gave Zimmerman the big extension. If they could somehow get to the playoffs, even if they lost in the first round, imagine what that would do for the hype coming into next year.
I agree, and I'm not saying that they're going to shut him down, but I'm saying they're going to be playing the thing by ear, and I wouldn't be surprised if they stretched him out a little bit, you know, with 60 days left, if they start to stretch him out to 6 days or something like that, as long as it's not going to cost him wins.
Well, they if you remember, he came back at the end of last year, so he's over a year. He's been, what, 18 months since Tommy John?
I understand that, but what's the highest number of innings he's ever pitched in a season?
Well, whatever it was.
It's well under 200.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's two seasons.
Sure.
He's been on an innings limit since he came to the bigs.
One thing I read this week is that...
He pitched 68 innings in 2010, and then, obviously, in 2011, 24 innings, and then he was done. So he hasn't even pitched 100 innings leading up to this year. He's got 25 innings already this season. But when do you take the training wheels off? I mean, he's not the only guy who's ever been a young phenom. At some point, you have to let him pitch.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
I mean, look what... I mean, Felix Hernandez or Matt Latos or any of these young guys that came up that were highly touted, you have to let him be a pitcher at some point.
Well, you should put the training wheels back on Latos. But I did read that with Wayne coming back to the rotation, they're going to go with six guys for a while in D.C. That'll help. And if their offense is struggling so bad, and why don't they call up Bryce Harper?
Just waiting for Super 2. They're going to wait until that Super 2 day comes, and then...
Yeah, sometime in May. Is it May?
I think it's mid-May.
Well, by the way, so let's just close this off by pointing out that Ryan Zimmerman has one home run, seven RBIs, hitting .224.
And he's hurt.
That's not a surprise.
But I mean, the article that I was reading this morning was talking about, you know, he's day-to-day, but there's great concern that he's going on the DL.
It says, I'm looking at a note here that says he's probably going on the DL.
If that's the case, I mean, if you're the Nationals, you need somebody to hit. You know, Jason Worth has got to pick up some of the load. Michael Morse isn't coming back until, you know, late May, maybe June. So it's still another month. Now you've got Zimmerman on the DL for who knows how long. I mean, their pitching is amazing, but at some point you have to score runs to win. And you know,
so do you think this year the Nats are the same as Pittsburgh was last year? Hot start, Cinderella story, fade down the stretch, or do you think these guys have what it takes?
Pittsburgh, though. I mean, you look
they
at
got the pitching.
Yeah, I think their pitching is better than anything Pittsburgh had last year. And Pittsburgh stuck in that thing for a long time, you know.
I love that note said that Zimmerman is probably going on the DL. Like, couldn't you just say that for, like, any day of his life?
We already knew that before the season started. He's like probably going on the
Vegas
DL.
The Vegas odds has Ryan Zimmerman probably going on the DL.
All right, here's three teams that have underperformed. They're all in last place. Boston, the Angels, and the Marlins. Three huge names that you would not have expected to be in last place 1 month into the season. Start out by talking about Boston.
Boston, they're terrible. They're just bad.
Who's the starting outfield for the Red Sox right now?
It's Cody Ross.
Cody Ross, Ryan Sweeney.
And Darnell McDonald / Jason Redko. /
Platoon.
Didn't they have a bar?
They're so bad.
Oh, that's right. Marlon Byrd is in the fold now.
Yeah, don't forget Marlon Byrd. They're so bad they can't even put J.D. Drew out there. You know, the perennial.
Dude, I was talking to Bodley about that the other day. How is J.D. Drew out of baseball? He had to want to be out of baseball, right? I mean, he was not a warrior who's going to go out there every day for you, but he's worth having on your roster to go out there 3 days a week.
Red Sox fans have complained about J.D. Drew for the past 4 or 5 seasons. Wouldn't you love to have J.D. Drew right now?
Yeah, even if he was platooning, when he's in there, he's at least valuable.
Or even Josh Reddick.
He does something.
Although if you're J.D.
Don't even get me started on freaking Reddick, man.
We have the Reddick minute.
Bodley gets pissed because about every other day I send him a text talking about how mad I am they got rid of Reddick. Dude, I understand Reddick is not he's not Josh Hamilton, but he would help that team a lot.
The problem with the Red Sox isn't their outfield, it's their stupid pitching. They don't have any.
Well, they've started to score some runs lately, so maybe the bats are coming to life. Obviously losing Ellsbury is a killer. Euculus is as bad as we thought he might be. That's not good, but Poppy is tremendous, and Gonzalez has been fine.
Gonzalez has been okay. He's not been what they need him to be.
He hasn't been an MVP type of player. Let's look up the numbers right now.
He's not hitting home runs.
He's hitting .300. He only has two bombs. He's not the problem, is what I'm saying.
No, he's not the problem, but it's the pitching. It's like Bobby said. I mean, the starting pitching is mediocre, and the bullpen is maybe the worst in baseball.
Their starting pitching is the worst in baseball.
I don't know about that. Dude, Bard has been okay. Yeah, Lester's been terrible. Bard's been okay, though. Drabont has been pretty good when he throws. I mean, they're not terrible. They're mediocre on the starting line.
Beckett's had a couple of bad starts and a couple of good ones. He's been unreliable. Lester's been way worse than we expected.
Right.
Buchholz hasn't been anything to write home about.
But there is a silver lining. Dice K is making his return.
Some sort of lining.
So, BOD, I have a bet with you that we made before the season started that the Red Sox would not win 90 games.
I don't remember this bet.
You want to just pay up now, or you want to see how it goes?
Well, of course they're not going to win. Are they going to win? So I'm going to win the bet.
I said they wouldn't win 90.
Interesting.
Are they going to win 80 games?
They're going to win 80. They're
going to be right around 500.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I think
they're almost at 500 right now.
I think they're under 500 for the season, the end of the year. Because what's going to get better?
Their bullpen.
How?
JD Drew is going to come back.
When does Bailey come back?
I don't know. But who cares? He'll pitch for 2 weeks and get hurt.
Well, plus, Aceves can't be this bad. He was too good last year.
So what? Do you think Daniel Bard is the answer? I mean, you said the bullpen's going to get better. How is it going to get better?
Maybe. I mean, maybe you move Bard back there. Maybe. I don't know.
The answer is going to be Grant Balfour or someone like that they trade for.
I wouldn't be surprised if they do that. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Brett Myers.
They're not going to make a trade like that if they're in last place. You make that trade if you're in second place.
Maybe Henry can trade some of the Liverpool players. From a soccer club, you get a closer.
All right, real quick. The Angels, Albert Pujols has 0 home runs, so he and I are tied this year so far in home runs. I mean, did anybody see that coming?
The Angels' offense, every single player has been terrible.
Trumbo has been okay, but when you look at that offense and you saw Albert being added, you had to think, okay, they better win soon because guys like Torrey Hunter, Vernon Wells, Bobby Abreu, even Alberto Callaspo, they're all at the tail end of their careers, and like it's now or never, right, for the Angels? And so far, 6-13, they're not scoring any runs, and they have maybe the best pitching in baseball.
Well, their best outfielder on their team isn't even on the roster. And the fact that they can't play him because they got to pay Vernon Wells $1 billion, just play Mike Trout. Just call him up.
Or, yeah, same with Abreu. I mean, they're overloaded with having Trumbo and Morales and Albert, who are all really first basemen. They're having to find a spot for Trumbo to play somewhere just so they can get his bat, and he's been the only decent one.
I just hate when they call their outfield is overloaded. You're not overloaded if you have 3 mediocre players playing.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised if Trout was up pretty soon.
Well, and
he's probably a Super 2 guy, too. Well, he's already been up. Yeah, so they can't he's already Super 2 him. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to wait.
Their pitching's been bad, too. Jordan Walden hasn't been good. Santana hasn't been good. Heron got lit a couple times.
It's hard to believe that with all those names and all the money that they're paying, that the best player on that team is Howie Kendrick. Pretty bad. I mean, if Albert doesn't get it going soon, I know he's the golden boy, but you can start to hear the boo birds coming out in Anaheim because they had legitimate World Series expectations. Right now, they got a long way to go. It might be a long shot. They're 9 games out of first place behind Texas, and Texas is good. So
the
season could be over. We're in April, and it could be over.
Maybe there's an extra wild card spot now. Maybe they're playing for that, you know.
All right, well, hey, you mentioned it with Jordan Walden. Let's talk about the closer explosion. We've had a lot of drama first month of the year with closers.
Is it me, or is this worse than most years? I mean, I feel like there's always a lot of closer flip-flop here the first little bit.
When you combine the injuries, though, with the closers that have been bad?
Well, and I think the implosions by some closers have been worse. Or in years past, they might give up 2 rounds. But some guys are giving up 4 or 5, and it's
well, and they do it like 3 nights in a row. They go Heath Bell and just get, you know, killed.
By the way, Jason, when you listen to this podcast, this is when you called me Friday afternoon.
I'm looking at Alfredo Aceves' most recent outing. He actually came back and got 2 saves after this happened, but on April 21st against the Yankees, we know it's legendary. He had 4 walks. By the way, he got nobody out.
I'm well aware of that.
And this was on national TV. He got nobody out. He walked 4 and gave up 2 hits with 5 earned runs. And why don't you tell us what happened from there, BOD?
Then I promptly dropped him. Just got rid of him. I got rid of him and Brad Lynch. I just dropped both.
Which in our league, where saves are gold, you don't just drop the closer.
Exactly. I didn't care. I didn't want anything from him. And I didn't pick up anyone else to take their spot for like a day and a half. They raised my ERA, I think, a half a point. Just those 2 guys alone.
You're talking about Lidge and Aceves.
Lidge and Aceves. It's just brutal. Brood, it's not worth getting those two.
Sevis has had multiple outings where he doesn't get an out. He just goes bad out there and gets pounded.
And you know what? You said he got a save. That was it, the first Minnesota save he got where he beamed a guy and had the bases loaded?
Had the bases loaded.
That was the second game.
Oh, the second one. Second and the first one, he was like 2 feet away from a bomb.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, on the same day that Sevis got lit, that was the exact same day that it happened with Lidge. So it probably your blood pressure was up and you weren't making rational choices.
And that Lidge one, he lost the win for Strasburg too.
Yeah, I'm looking at the line: 3 walks and a hit.
He started over. He was 0-2 against Hanley. Then something happened, and then bomb.
So we've talked about Aceves and Lidge. There have been a bunch of them though. I've been suffering with Hector Santiago. He's blown 2 saves, and he's given up the home run ball. He's given up 4 bombs already. This is the guy that came out of the White Sox bullpen. Nobody knew who would be the closer, and I'm not so happy maybe that I ended up with him on my team because that guy's killing me. Heath Bell, brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal start. Part of the reason the Marlins are in last place.
The only thing I can say about Heath Bell is if you can trade him, I would keep your eye on Robinson Cano. That's a pretty good swap.
What do you mean, Scott?
Just saying.
You throw in there Jordan Walden and Carlos Marmol. So here's the question. With all these bad closers, do you go BOD and just drop the guy? Do you keep him in your lineup day after day and let him go out there? Do you bench closers and potentially lose out on saves until you feel like he's right? How do you play this early season problem?
A lot of those guys aren't going to keep their job. And my thought with the Sevis dropping him, even though Wally and other people said they would have traded me something for him, that is garbage. Nobody would have traded me the last guy they were going to drop for him because he just got lit. You just got to realize they're done.
But saves are a huge commodity.
Is it worth getting that extra 2 saves to get your ERA and
win? What's the value on chasing these low-end closers, guys who just barely get the job when they do so much damage to your ERA and your whip? I mean, they can murder you. I mean, look at Aceves. He's probably cost you literally a half a point on your ERA.
Literally.
By himself.
Yeah, it's terrible. And it takes weeks to recover from that.
When a guy goes out and gets 0 outs and gives up 3 runs...
Not once, but twice.
That's like just tacking 3 runs onto. Let's say you have Strasburg go out and throw an 8-inning gem, gives up 0. Okay, now let's tack 3 runs onto that. You know what I mean? It just undoes so much.
So let's take my guy Hector Santiago for example. I'm not going to drop him, but do I bench him for a while? Do I just keep rolling him out there? What do you think?
I kind of like him. I mean, I think he'll have rough outings, but
what about Marmol?
I'd write it.
He's got a history now. 2 years worth of being awful.
I think the problem with Marmol is who is going to replace him. They got nobody left in
it,
Chicago.
It has to be. It has to be, because why else would they keep running him out there for so long?
So let's assume he's going to continue to pitch. Do you continue to pitch him?
I think you have to, right? I mean, if he's on your roster and you drafted him for the saves.
And you knew he was going to blow up like this. You got to take it.
Well, and the other thing is, at some point, he's not going to have any ERA. An ERA of 9 the whole season. At some point, he's going to string together a few good outings in a row, and you don't want him sitting on your bench when those happen, you know?
By the way, the best closer right now, Fernando Rodney. Think about that for a while.
Amazing. I feel the same way I do about closers as I do about stolen base guys. Some of those guys give you only stolen bases, but if you have them on your bench when they give you those stolen bases, then you're wasting a roster spot. So I think with closers, you got to roll them out there. And just like a stolen base guy that might go for 4 day after day, and he's hurting your average in other categories, if you don't have him in your roster to give you what you have him on there for, then you might as well trade him or drop him because you're just being unproductive with on your bench. So I'm going to ride it out with old man Santiago.
What?
But it's going to be a crazy ride. And I got to say this. I do not believe in Aceves. And so I think Wally's in trouble. We'll see how he plays it, but his ERA might take a little bump coming up.
Well, he's desperate for saves, though, so.
Yeah. Well, dude, it's crazy. I mean, the whole closer saves thing is absolutely crazy. We went to lunch with Bleacher Creature from our league. It was just a week before the season started, going through my roster, and he was hammering me about my closers. Grant Balfour, Jim Johnson, Sergio Santos, and somebody else. Needless to say, he was like, oh, I would not want those closers. Those are terrible. Well, Grant Balfour has been amazing. Jim Johnson has been amazing. Houston Street is the other one. Houston Street's been pretty good. He's only got two saves, but he's not giving up runs or whatever. It's like, closers, it could be the last closer off the board, and he could go out and get 30 saves and have an ERA under 3. I mean, you never freaking know with these guys.
You have a memory that's like a steel trap. Like, I'm afraid of, like, what have I told you months ago that you're going to come back and say, I remember at lunch.
It's not that he remembers everything. He only remembers people that insult his fantasy team.
Yeah.
No, I was just...
It's like insulting your child, right?
It's like a wife, like, selective memory, just not remembering the compliments.
I'm a bitter man.
All right, boys, we've had a couple trades, two trades in the league so far, so we're going to talk about these. The first is the trade between me and the big cat.
This was worked out right after the last podcast.
Yeah, actually. So we argued on the podcast last week. We finally got a deal done. I sent you David Ortiz. You sent me Yoenis Cespedes and
Trevor Cahill.
BOD, let's go to an impartial third party. What do you think about that trade?
Well, I don't understand why you traded Poppy. Because you need home runs for RBIs and average, and that's what Poppy gives you. I just don't understand why you did the deal.
I don't believe he's going to hit 380. I really don't think he's going to hit 280.
You don't think he can hit 280? He hit 300 last year.
I should say, I think he will hit 280. I think that's his ceiling. But he could hit 300. I mean, I can't really...
The way he's going the other way this year makes me think average is the one thing that he could keep up. I think the power might be down a little bit.
I didn't trade him to you because I thought he was, you know, a bill of goods that wouldn't perform. I really do think he's going to hit 30 home runs and probably somewhere around 280. Maybe he goes 300. I don't know. The reason I traded him is because I think Jesus Montero is going to be a good player. I think he's obviously playing every day in Seattle. I think he is going to hit for average, and he's utility only right now. And so my outfield was already too stacked, and I wasn't getting Poppy in my lineup. Maybe it was stupid, but
So are you playing Cespedes?
The addition of Cespedes and Montero is of more value to you than Ortiz was.
Well, I felt like that plus adding Cahill, I needed another starter.
I mean, I could sort of buy that, but my thought is, like, Cespedes will give you more stolen bases than Poppy, and everything else could sort of be a wash. And you don't need stolen bases.
I do. I'm gonna run him up and trade him.
The one thing with Cespedes is, I mean, we were arguing about it last week, right, on the podcast, and I'm 100% believer that his power is legit and his speed is legit. I mean, the dude's going to be 25-25, I think, but the average is going to be suspect. I mean, I've watched a lot of A's games, and every time he gets on base, he tries to run. I honestly think he's like pretending he doesn't understand what the base coaches are saying, because I saw him trying to steal third the other day, and it was late in the game, tie game. He stole third with, there was no reason, like, it would have been a bad out, and when he goes, have you guys watched him? Dude, he breaks earlier than anyone ever. He breaks so early. It's crazy.
I think if you had to say who's the winner and loser in our trade, you're the winner. You're getting a known commodity, a pretty good one. I think Cahill is going to be a lot better than he was last year. He's had some quality starts, and Cespedes is exciting to see what happens, but I'm taking all the risk, so it's probably, that trade probably comes out in your favor.
I think it's pretty close, though. I mean, you do what you got to do.
It's always good, like, after you make a trade, when you realize the other team has the better part of the trade. Isn't that kind of bad?
For me, it really came down to position, you know, availability. I already had a guy that was util only on my team, so I couldn't play Poppy as well.
And that's one thing about Dave Ortiz. He does hamstring you a little bit when you've got to run him out there in utility. It was nice to have that flexibility before where I can move outfielders or whatever around. Now, he's basically locking up that utility spot, and unless my other guys have multiple position eligibility, it does, you know, it reduces that flexibility quite a bit.
All right, the other trade, this is interesting here. Wally somehow got over on Cobra, in my opinion. Way favoring Wally. Wally sent Andre Ethier and Brandon Beachy to Cobra for Colby Rasmus and Felix Hernandez.
Well, first off, Cobra's been trying to send Felix to everybody. Either he has information that other people don't have, or he just doesn't like Felix. I mean, there was some reason. He was sending trade requests to everybody. trying to spin Felix to, you know, everybody in the league.
33 strikeouts in 36 innings, 2 wins, 2.48 ERA, 1.02 whip.
I'm not as high on Felix as everybody else, since his ERA was like 3.6 last year. I think BT's going to have an awesome year. But with that said, just because of the market value of Felix, he could have got a lot more.
He could have got a lot more.
He could have got a lot more. I think that's the main thing. I don't know that the trade is that lopsided as much, you know, when you
well,
actually
Ethier,
you just strip
there's
the
no
names
way
down.
Ethier is going to continue to be what he's been the first month of the season.
Well, he was a mother 2 years ago, though.
We've seen Ethier be an early season guy, though, before, where he's real hot to start the season and then slows down.
Yeah, he's been in the league since 2006, and other than 1 year in 2009 when he hit 31 bombs, he's never driven in 100 runs, and he's never hit more than 23 homers. What, he's suddenly going to be Babe Ruth this year? I mean, I don't believe a bit in Andre Ethier. And the thing is, even if Ethier turns out to be fine, why are you going to take the risk on Ethier when you could have gotten Jay Bruce? Or, for example, Cobra proposed to me Mike Stanton straight up for Felix Hernandez. Wouldn't you rather have Stanton over Andre Ethier?
I think he just really liked Beachy. And he's a Braves fan. I think that has
But he
to
said
be.
He doesn't need pitching. He said he's got
well,
too much pitching.
That's the crazy thing. Is he was trying to pawn off starters. And he got rid of Felix and brought in Beachy. He's in the same spot he was before. All he did was swap Rasmussen for... So he got a little bit less of a starter with Beachy. And then he swapped Rasmus for Ethier. I mean, Rasmus is not good. I think
Rasmus is just a throw in.
I don't think he is. I mean, he's not good. He's going to hit 240, maybe.
But I can see Cobra's logic, though. Downgrading a pitcher a little bit for an outfielder who can get 90 RBIs. I mean...
He needs offense. There's no question he needs offense because Ethier becomes, a guy that can at least play every day for him. His other outfielders right now are Desmond Jennings, Cameron Maben. That's it. He doesn't even have anybody else that can play the outfield. His bench is Ike Davis, Ian Desmond, Omar Infante, and Paul Goldschmidt. That's just a bunch of infielders. So he did need an outfielder, but I'm just saying he could have got way more.
Well, you know, going back to me being bitter, I was trying to work on a deal with him for a long time, and, you know, I offered him Corey Hart for Madison Baumgartner. In my opinion, I mean, this goes back to who you got. I would way rather have Corey Hart than Andre Ethier.
Way rather. There's no question in my mind.
He couldn't do that Corey Hart deal anyway. There'd be so much paperwork with, like, adoption papers that you'd have to, like, sign away your child. It's not worth it.
So I'm going to say that Wally by far was the winner in that deal. What do you guys think?
I think Wally is the winner, but I think when you strip it down and look at just the numbers, it's not as bad as it seems. I think the Felix name value makes it, you know.
I just think he could have got more.
I don't see how Cobra helped his team in the end.
Well, that's the biggest thing, I think, is that Cobra, yeah, first off, I don't know. He did help his team. He added a decent outfielder. I mean.
But he gave him Felix.
Right. That's the problem, is he could have got way more for Felix than he did. He could have got a way better outfielder, I have to think. But he's also been trying to make a trade for 2 weeks now. And it may have just been he was sick of trying and thought that was the best thing they'd come across.
And maybe he realizes he's got to make a move now before he gets too far behind.
Right. Well, I would have tried to offer him 100 pence, but someone already shit all over 100 pence, so there's no value in him anymore.
It's time for the 100 pence minute. We got to have a drop. 100 pence minute. How is 100 pence doing anyway?
Just moving along.
So he's healthy. There's no problems there.
Yeah, he's fine.
Where's he at on the rankings? Do you know?
He's right around, I think he's at 89 today.
Today?
Yeah, I look pretty much every day.
100 pence on the Yahoo Player Rater is 98.
Do you
call him on the phone every day, that chat? What'd you have for lunch? Oh, okay. Just chit-chat.
This 100 pence moment brought to you by Hunter Pence.
Bye.
All right, guys, we're going to finish off this podcast with a little bit of Who You Got.
Who you got?
We'll start it out with the one we just talked about. Corey Hart or Andre Ethier?
You know where I'm at.
I'd say Hart just because he can get some bags. Ethier can get you better average, but...
Corey Hart, no question.
Get better average. What's Ethier going to hit?
285, 290?
That's what Hart's going to hit, 280.
Has Corey Hart ever hit 285
in his
life?
He's going to hit 280.
How much you want to bet?
Corey Hart's hitting 305 right now.
What's his last 4 years been in his career?
He's right. I think he's two.
Do you have to get a microscope out?
283, 285, the past 2 years, and now 305 this year.
Oh!
He'll hit the same or better than Ethier will, and he'll have way more home runs. He'll have 8 to 10 more bombs.
He's going to hit 30 home runs this year.
I will bet you that Corey Hart will not hit 300 this year.
I'm not going to bet you 300. I'll bet you 280.
No,
let's set the standard.
All right, next one. Jose Reyes or Jimmy Rollins?
Jose Reyes or Jimmy Rollins. This one, because I was looking this morning to make a trade for Jose Reyes, and then I sat down and looked at my shortstop compared to what Jose Reyes did last year in a pretty good year, where he's at right now, and decided I would just hang on. So you guys tell me. I mean, I think the obvious answer is Jose Reyes, but if you sit down and look at the numbers, I'm not so sure there's that big a gap.
I'd still take Reyes. The Marlins are, once they get their bats moving, Reyes will be on base more. He'll run.
You at least expect Reyes to come back from where he's at right now. Rollins is exactly where I thought he would be. He's hitting 229. He's got zero home runs. He does have four bags, but that's exactly what I thought he would do. So I'd go Reyes.
Well, here's the difference. What is Reyes going to do more than?
I mean, he just won the batting title. Don't you expect him to at least hit 290?
I don't know.
He hit, 344 or something last year?
Yeah, he hit 344, but that's an aberration. What does he normally
hit? I'm just saying, even if he goes 50 points lower than that this year, I mean, the guy is still a different league.
I guess for me, the big thing is,
a world better than Jimmy
Rollins. Jose Reyes is a guy that, when you draft him, at least in my mind, you're trying to get runs, and you're looking to get stolen bases. The last 2 years, he's been healthy, and he's stolen less than 40 bases the last 2 years. He's not the base-stealing threat that everybody thinks. He's not a 70 stolen base guy.
Well, he's got the same number of bags Rollins has. Granted, he's hitting 205 with no home runs, so he's way down. But I mean,
then Rollins is going to hit 5 to 10 more bombs than Jose Reyes.
Well, both of them have zero right now, so I guess we'll see what happens. But I'm going to go Reyes. I'm not giving up on Reyes. I don't love Jose Reyes, but Jimmy Rollins, I think, is done. In my opinion. Next one: Raul Labañez, Yankees. Or Cody Ross, Red Sox.
I think you missed a train on Cody Ross. I think he shot his wad already. He's done.
Like he's done?
I think you missed the hot streak here. You think Cody Ross is going to hit 20 bombs? He's already hit 5. That means he has 15 more the rest of the season, and I don't think he even gets to 20. I'd be surprised if he gets to 15.
But I mean, who else is going to? Who's going to take his playing time?
About taking his playing time. He can have 800 at-bats this year, and he's not going to hit 20 home runs.
So, but do you love Ibanez? I mean, he seems to me like just another kind of washed-up veteran bat that goes to the Yankees outfield just to give them depth in their lineup, just like an Andrew Jones. I don't love anything about Raul Ibanez. Never. I mean, he was okay in that stacked Philly lineup, but that was 3-4 years ago.
I mean, the one thing about this is Cody Ross is going to have a...
He's going to be
in the lineup every day.
Everyday player.
Ibanez isn't.
Right.
But I just think... I mean, Cody Ross has been hot for the last 2 weeks. And so you look at his numbers right now, and he looks amazing. But he's a guy who we've seen get hot before. He was hot in the playoffs with the Giants. And when he's hot, great. He'll do his little bat flip and, you know, stare out at the pitcher. But for the other 500 at-bats in the season, he's not very good.
Tough call. I'm going to go Ross.
I'd say Ibanez.
And I'm not going to lie, just the fact that I think Cody Ross is a dick makes me choose Raul Ibanez.
All right, next one. Yoenis Cespedes or Jason Hayward?
Jason Hayward.
Dude,
come on.
Yeah, I think you got to go with Hayward. Hayward is stealing bases, too, like crazy right now. I love Hayward.
Like crazy. He's got 6. Cespedes has 4.
Yeah, so he has.
He's got Hayward
has 30% more.
Hayward has, I believe that's known as 50%, but Hayward has only 2 bombs, and he's hitting 6th in that lineup, and Cespedes has 4 bombs.
Yeah, the average is going to be. I mean, Hayward's going to hit what, 270?
He's already at 303. I think I got to go Hayward as well. We just don't know enough about Cespedes, really.
I think the Cespedes train needs to slow down a little bit here.
Dude.
It's his first month, man.
He's hot.
So, Pujols has been terrible. Does that mean he's going to hit 0 home runs the rest of the year?
No, but...
These things average out.
I understand that, but you don't think Cespedes is going to hit 20 home runs? You think Cody Ross is going to hit 20 home runs?
He plays in Fenway.
All right, here's another one. Edwin Encarnacion or Ike Davis?
Edwin. Well, both get hurt all the time, it seems.
I think I would take Edwin just because he steals a few bases. Not a ton, but at least, everything else is going to be pretty close.
Yeah, I'll go Edwin as well. And he plays in that lineup where there's a little bit more happening, more chances for RBIs.
Well, I'm wondering, do the Blue Jays not have that guy out in center field now tipping pitches? Is that why, we're seeing the home run drought all of a sudden out there?
Yeah, Bautista's been terrible ever since that guy went away. Seriously.
And Lowry hasn't exactly had a hot start.
Well, none of them have. They're not. They were, the last 2 years, they were crushing the ball. They were home run capital of the world, and they haven't been so far. And maybe the hot air just hasn't got up to Toronto yet, but.
All right, last one, boys. A couple of pitchers. Jason Hammel or Tommy Malone?
You got to go Malone just because he pitches in Oakland. Hamill, like as we discussed earlier, he's got to go against Tampa, the Yankees, and the Red Sox.
Yeah.
A lot of games.
That's definitely scary. My big concern is, as a guy who has Brandon McCarthy and knows the downside of a terrible K rate, Malone strikes out even fewer people.
No strikeouts, and he's not going to get many wins in Oakland, so that's two of your five pitching, and saves, aren't even relevant, so... He may help you in ERA and WHIP, but he doesn't give you anything in wins or strikeouts. I'll go Jason Hammel just because, hey, the Orioles are in first place. What can you say?
But with that argument, the only thing Hamill's going to get you is strikeouts because
and wins.
He pitches for Baltimore, so the wins are going to go down, right? So wouldn't ERA and WHIP win over the 2-for-1 theory?
It's a tough call, but I kind of like what Hamill's been doing so far this year.
I don't know. It's close. It's close.
He's a nice pitcher.
All right, kids, well, that's the end of our Who You Got. Good week of baseball, big weekend of baseball coming up. I'm excited to be back in town, and good to see Mr. Timothy Lincecum. Timmy, if you're listening, nice outing last time. Keep it up. BOD, tell them how they can get a hold of us.
Off-Base Podcast on Twitter, offbasepodcast@gmail.com is our email address. And
download us at iTunes.
Yep, and our league is at tinyurl.com/offbasepodcastleague. Remember to rate us, too, on iTunes. Leave us awesome comments. Tell us how incredibly awesome we are.
Okay. We'll be back next week with episode 10. Adios.